This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War. Today on The Invisible War, Dr. Rob Randall is in the studio, and you'll want to pay close attention to these most important spiritual truths as we study what the Bible says about spiritual warfare. Welcome to The Invisible War Radio Ministry with our teacher and author, Dr. Rob Randall. We are so glad that you're here today and listening. And each week we want to remind you that this radio program is taken from his book by the same title, The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy. We want to encourage you to get your own copy of this Bible study on spiritual warfare by visiting our website, theinvisiblewar.org, and you can order it right there online. Dr. Randall, welcome, and why did you write this book on spiritual warfare? Surely you know that so many segments of the church today are not just disinterested in the subject, but they really have an aversion to it. They kind of reject this as a bunch of spooky mumbo-jumbo.
You know, when I asked Dr. Roy Fish, distinguished professor of evangelism at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, to write the foreword to the book, after he saw the manuscript, he said, "Rob, I can't believe you've done this." I assured him I didn't really want to. The Lord told me to write the book after our journey. He said, "No one, now get this, Kevin, no one in Southern Baptist life had so written about these spiritual matters in a published work in such depth since 1975. I had no idea. Kevin, that's over 30 years. Think of it, a whole generation of the largest group of Baptists, or please, the largest group of non-Catholics in America, has neglected this most important Bible study. I believe because of the intensifying of the battle, we can no longer ignore this life and death struggle that we're in with the spirits of darkness. It is interesting to note that many, if not most, of the works on spiritual warfare have been written in the past 10 to 15 years. I believe the reason for this is the devil has stepped up his attack on our cities, our communities, our churches, our families, and especially our children. Most of the books on the subject have been written by men like me who were thrust into the battle with the forces of darkness trying simply to save their children. I can assure you this is not something I set out to get involved in. The biblical study of spiritual warfare became a necessity in our lives, in my family's life, in the battle for my son's life.
And by the way, we have your son's story. Rob, we were able to interview him. And that's what started this whole ministry direction in your life. And it's available at theinvisiblewar.org. You can go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. There's a broadcast button, and you can download that show and our other archives free right there at The Invisible
All
War.
All the programs are available to any of our listeners at any time at their convenience. I want to encourage you to visit that. And you can hear, if you've not heard already, that wonderful story of God's amazing deliverance and love in our lives.
Dr. Randall, summarize for us why you believe that a believer, though saved, is not safe from the powers of darkness.
You know, only through a careful study of God's Word does one come to understand the truth concerning these critical spiritual issues that we face every day. It's best to study all the passages on the subject without trying to find one proof text to defend our comfortable traditional positions. Let's look at what the Bible has to say concerning the demonization of the believer. Let's look at the Word of God together. The following is a list of just a few scriptural examples of God's people being demonized. It is necessary to look at all of the Word of God to glean the eternal truth of these most serious matters. Number one, the case of King Saul in 1 Samuel 9 through 31. He was a true Old Testament believer. He was filled by the Holy Spirit on more than one occasion. And on three occasions, an evil spirit entered his life, causing dramatic personality changes when the demon was in manifestation. The case of Israel, a rebellious nation, in Hosea 2, 13 and 17. It's altogether possible that most of the adult Jews who had given themselves to gross spirit idol worship were demonized when God sent them into captivity. The prophets describe in shocking detail their total surrender to the spirit world. Israel united the cult of Baal with the worship of Jehovah. The result was a deplorable syncretism, which soon led Israel to reject the law of her God. We find all of this in Hosea 4, Hosea 9, 1 Corinthians 10, and 1 Timothy 3, and 2 Timothy 2. And in the New Testament, we have vivid cases of Jews, regular synagogue attendees, who were severely demonized. Mark 1, verse 21 through 28 and 39. We have the case of the demonized daughter of Abraham. Abraham is known as the father of the faithful. In Luke 13, 10 through 17, look at John 8, 33 through 35, and Galatians 3, verse 29. She was a true Jewish believer. Her sickness was caused by an evil spirit from which Jesus set her free. We have the case of the demonization of Peter in Matthew 16:23 and Mark 8:33 and Luke 4:8. Notice here, Jesus does not rebuke Peter by name. He rebukes Satan, who was able to invade Peter, that his mind and his voice were used for evil. We have the case of the early church being demonized in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. It is clear that Ananias and Sapphira were true believers, but Satan filled the heart of Ananias. The word fill here means to control, the same expression used for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And of course, Paul's thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, he refers to the source of it as a messenger of Satan. The word agelos, or better translated in most places in the New Testament, is angel, a messenger, an angel of Satan, a demon. Most of the time, this word is translated in the New Testament as angel. And of course, we have all the warnings of the New Testament concerning the invasion of the demonic. And let me tell you something, Kevin, what we need to recognize is all of these New Testament warnings are given to the church. All of them. Paul cautions against the potential demonization of bishops, elders, and pastors in 1 Timothy 3, 6-7, Bible teachers, preachers, and prophets in 2 Corinthians 11, 3-4, 13-15, 1 Timothy 1, 19-20, with 2 Timothy 2, 14-26, 1 Timothy 4, 1 John 4, I know I'm giving these quickly, but I want you to know that the Bible speaks of it over and over and over again. There is the enigma of demonized deaconesses, 1 Timothy 5, 9-15, and the danger of demonized gifted Christian leaders and miracle workers, 1 John 4, 1-4, with Matthew 7, 13-29, and 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-17, and let's also look at Revelation 13 in our study. We have the two wisdoms available to every believer: bitter, jealous, selfish, ambitious, arrogant, lying, and cursing believers who receive this unholy wisdom can become demonized. James chapter 3, 9-15. And of course, we have Paul's concern of his new converts receiving another spirit in 2 Corinthians 11, 4. If it were not possible for new believers to receive another spirit, then why was Paul so concerned about it? And we have also the warning, neither give place to the devil in Ephesians 4, 27, the warning to Christians about the danger of giving in an area of our lives, knowingly or unknowingly, over to the occupancy of the enemy. And in the study of the armor of God, there's a warning, a clear warning implied that a Christian without the Lord's armor can be penetrated by the enemy. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And in the passage that warns the Christian of the danger of Satan as a roaring lion, it is also implied that the believer can be destroyed or gobbled up by his adversary, Satan, in 1 Peter 5, 8.
Dr. Randall, in your work, you've made some important distinctions, and some of these terms we just kind of throw around and really don't know what we're talking about sometimes, but you've seemed to distinguish between demonization and demon possession or oppression. Can you elaborate once again on these terms and the biblical precedents for them?
I cannot emphasize how important it is to clarify these terms that are so used. Let me simply say that I never use the word possession. And the reason why is that by the time the word takes the journey into our language from the original, it changes its meaning. When we say something is our possession or someone is possessed, it implies someone owns something. And when we're speaking of the demonic world, we're not speaking of ownership. We're speaking of influence that leads to control. And so we psychologically use these terms to try to stay away from the word possess, or so we use the word oppression. And in fact, the Bible term for oppression is more powerful than even the Bible term possession. And yet, in our language, when it takes the journey, it means something so different. So I think it's best to use the word that comes from the Greek. We try to clarify it so not to be a part of the confusion, but to add clarity. The word is diamonzomai. It simply means, and I want everybody to listen carefully, all that that word means is one who has or had a demon. There's a demonic assignment. Maybe the text tells us where it is, but usually it doesn't. It just simply says there was a demon there. It may share that it caused sickness or infirmity or some kind of illness or some kind of insanity. It may share with us what the manifestation is, but as far as where the demon is, that may not be so clear. So it's best to use the term biblically so that we can clarify the confusion. We're never speaking of ownership, so do your best to stay away from the word possession. It simply means one who has or had a demon.
Dr. Randall, let's look at some proof texts that are often offered against the Christian being demonized, and one of them is 1 John 5:18. Can you help us out with that passage?
You know, I struggled with this passage when I wrote the book, I have to confess to you. But upon careful study, I went back to the original language. In 1 John 5:18, we find these words. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. I confess to you, at first glance, this passage looks like it says that every believer is safe. Let's look at it more closely. Who is the one born of God mentioned in this passage? Who is the one without sin? There is one who has been born of God. He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is Jesus, and Christ alone is the only one who has been born of God. The Bible says very clearly, that's why it is only Christ that we find our protection and victory from the evil one. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, Ephesians 6:10. Our strength in the battle against the forces of darkness is found only in our union in Christ Jesus. If we fight in our own strength, we are certain to lose. If we fight in our Lord's strength and authority, we always are ensured of his victory.
Well, part of your teaching, Rob, is to teach us as believers where we are most vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. Clarify for us once again where we need to be most vigilant in this spiritual battle against the powers of darkness.
Man is spirit, soul, and flesh, or body. We find this truth in two primary passages, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and Hebrews 4:12. Simply put, when we get saved, What part of us gets saved? Are our bodies saved yet? The answer is no, not yet. We're going to get new bodies. And the promise of a new body is a part of our inheritance in Christ, but we don't have them yet. If, as believers, we yield to the flesh, look at what happens. Let's look at Galatians 5:21. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, witchcraft, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these. Now, I want to ask our listeners, those of you that are believers, does any of this sound familiar in your life or in your family? How about the outbursts of anger? How about carousing? How about sensuality and immorality? Our religious cover doesn't cover all that up. The fact is, we are still in the flesh, and if we yield to the flesh, these are the manifestations of the flesh. And in verse 8, in the very next chapter, chapter 6, listen to these words written to the church. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit shall reap eternal life. I want to ask you, do you have a new mind yet? It is true that through our yielding to the Holy Spirit, we are given the mind of Christ. Paul said in Philippians, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. However, even as believers, we must all admit horrible thoughts can come into our minds. And if we do not take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ, if we do not take captive these thoughts, they can bring us into evil bondage. So we are vulnerable in the areas of our flesh and our souls, which is made up of our mind, our emotions. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, for you will give the devil a place, and our will, although saved. We must also confess we are still free to choose to live by faith or the flesh, to live by the Spirit of God, or to choose not to follow Christ and to live for ourselves. To deny our Savior and His authority, His right to rule over our lives, always joins us to Satan's rebellion. Kevin, saved? Yes. But safe from the onslaught of the evil one? No. We must learn how to fight from the victory that has been bought for us by Christ Jesus at Calvary.
Well, Dr. Randall, as we come to the end of our time together, clarify once again the relationship of our flesh, our bodies, and demons.
A longtime friend and wonderful Bible teacher has raised the important question concerning the relationship between flesh and demons. He said, Rob, how do you know it's a demon when it may just be the work of the flesh? Surely, he said, you wouldn't want to attribute the works of the flesh to demons. Then no one would take responsibility for their actions. All you would be left with is, the devil made me do it. What about this evil all about us? Is it the result of the work of demons? Or is some of it just natural humanism or just natural flesh? Is it not possible that you can just do something because it is the flesh and demons don't have anything to do with it? I want every listener today to listen very carefully. You and I cannot do anything in the flesh or of the flesh that a demon does not activate his work of deception and destruction in our lives. In James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, study it carefully. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil. So evil is behind temptation. You see it there in that sentence. Look at it. And he himself does not tempt anyone. God doesn't tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. It is impossible for you to be selfish in any area of your life without demons taking note of it and coming against you to try their very best to establish a stronghold in your life. I'm not saying that every time you sin, you become demonized. I am not saying that. However, it is through continual sin that sinful habits are developed. If these habitual sins continue, demonization will certainly follow. We've said it many times on the program. May I declare it again. Sin is the highway demons travel. Here is the truth we must understand. Whatever part of your life is not under the control of the Lord Jesus is an opportunity for demons to take control. That's why the Word of God says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. That's not just a simple verse for children to memorize. It is essential for every believer to understand that we must do everything we do and say for God's glory alone. It is essential, or we can leave ourselves open to the attacks of the enemy.
Dr. Randall, I personally want to thank you. If you've missed any program of Dr. Randall's teaching on spiritual warfare, you can download it for free. Any program, all the programs, in fact, in this series of The Invisible War, by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. You know, it is by your faithfully standing with us that we're able to bring The Invisible War to you each week by radio. Thank you for joining with us in prayer as we take this life-changing truth to the many hurting and wounded. And thank you for your financial support for The Invisible War. Please give as generous a gift as you can, and we look forward to hearing from you. Call us, 877-808-8886. That's toll-free, 877-808-8886. Go online to theinvisiblewar.org. Once again, that number, 877-808-8886. Now some closing words from Dr. Randall.
I bless you today in Jesus' mighty name. Remember, it was for freedom Christ came to set us free. Don't settle for anything less than the freedom Christ bought for you with His blood on Calvary. If there is any area of your life that has you in bondage to the evil one, I beg you, please take your journey into spiritual cleaning. Let the Holy Spirit take you to the places of your wounds, your greatest fears, your deepest sorrows. Humble yourself. Confess your sin. Receive by faith what God's Word says He wants to give you today. Life abundant. Life at peace. A life full of love and the forgiveness only found at Calvary. He wants to give it as a gift to you if you will but turn from your sin and turn to Him today. Would you allow me to pray for you right now, right where you are? Join me in prayer, would you? If you're not sure you're going to heaven when you die, and you'd like to make sure today, would you pray this prayer with me, right where you are? Words are not magic. God knows our hearts. But if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you can be saved today. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. That's right. Pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that You love me because You died for me. I ask You to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I receive You as my Savior and my Lord. Now, Lord, I pray for that one who is struggling today in that place of hopelessness. I pray for that one who is still in darkness. I pray for that one who was saved many, many years ago, and yet they've wandered far, far away from Your home, Your love, and Your house. Lord, let them know that Your love has never changed. I pray against any cover, any block, any lying tongues right now. I ask that You would bind them with a threefold cord that cannot be broken, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that You would put us all in the circle of Your blood now for healing, for cleansing, and for protection. And I pray, Lord, that You would meet them in that place right now in a wonderful way. Let them know that You're able to do more and even greater than their need. And I pray it in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, we want to hear from you. Let us know of how we can continue to pray and encourage you in your journey. Call us toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. 808-8886, or visit us on the web, invisiblewar.org. There are many places there where you can find biblical counseling ministries that are available to you. There's a place where you can share your prayer requests. But let us know how we can minister you today. We thank you so much for your time. We look forward to the program next time on The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.